right, church. Foundational truths. Wow, we have been talking about this for a little while. Foundational truths. Hebrews chapter 6, just listen. Verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Six foundational truths. I got to tell you, when I first really got told to do this study, my assessment of it was six truths, 6 weeks. You know, we're going to move right through these, no problem. And here we are, 15 weeks later. And what I learned throughout this whole entire journey is that God's basic truths, His elementary truths, are so much deeper and richer than I could ever possibly imagine. And you know, in one aspect, that's kind of concerning, but then in another way, that is incredibly exciting. Because if what God says is basic is just blowing my mind, man, what has He got in store for me? What does tomorrow, what does God have ready to share with me tomorrow? And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about finishing up these truths because I'm excited about what God wants to show us tomorrow. I hope in this study, along with your body of Christ, your family here, I hope that you've laid some very solid foundational stones. I hope in the last 15 weeks, you know a little bit better, not only what you believe, but why you believe it. But always remember something. Always remember that these stones, they should not just serve as decoration in our lives. This foundation that we're putting together piece by piece, this cannot just be a pretty ornament that sits in the corner of our church and that's never used. It was never meant to be that. Okay, and your foundational stones that you've been putting in place, hopefully in your own life, are not meant to just decorate your life or decorate your home. These stones are meant to be stood upon. They are meant that when the winds are blowing hard against you, many of you right now, you feel that wind picking up. But when the wind is blowing hard against you, those stones, those truths about who Jesus Christ is and what He does in our lives, those basic truths offer you sure footing. When the waves are crashing on every side, those stones form an unmovable, an unshakable, and an absolutely unconquerable foundation. It will not be shaken. In fact, this week I was considering that total foundation. And what I realized was God brought me to a particular story I want to share with you. It's actually a true story. It's a story about something called the Eddystone Lighthouse. Anybody ever hear of this? The Eddystone Lighthouse. It's a lighthouse right off the coast of Cornwall, England. It's a very dangerous and treacherous little piece of the ocean there. Ships would get wrecked there all the time. So around the 1600s, they finally figured out, hey, we need to put a lighthouse in. Okay, something needs to change. So the first one was commissioned by a man named Henry Wistanley. All right, and this man built an incredible lighthouse. Beautiful lighthouse. Very fancy and eccentric. And on its sides, he put all kind of boastful sayings. He was very proud of his accomplishment. In fact, it would even go as far as to say he was a little bit arrogant. Because he would stand on his balcony at the top of the lighthouse, and he would boldly defy the passing storms. He was quoted as saying, "Blow, O winds, rise, O ocean, break forth ye elements and try my work." On November 27, 1703, the storm answered back. And in one night, it swallowed up the lighthouse and its builder. The lighthouse was rebuilt in 1703, a second time, by John Rudyard. It was constructed this time with a stone exterior, very plain, but with a wooden interior. A very weak interior, but a very strong exterior. Rudyard's lighthouse design was amazing. A very good design. It lasted for over 50 years. But then on December 2nd, 1755, its eternal weakness was found out. That lighthouse burnt down. All who were in it perished. Finally, the great John Smeaton was called. John Smeaton constructed from the very rock itself a 59-foot tall cone. A 59-foot lighthouse that he built from the very rock itself, from the base. He built it like an oak tree. And like an oak tree, it was rooted in the foundation. He carved no boastful inscriptions upon it. Across its base, he only put, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain." And just above the lantern, the simple Latin tribute, "Laus Deo," which means "Praise be to God." Smeaton's lighthouse safely guided sailors through that treacherous strait for over 100 years. Eventually, in 1882, a larger lighthouse was built. But this is the part of the story that I love. A larger lighthouse was needed, so they built a bigger lighthouse. Actually, it was almost three times the size of Smeaton's lighthouse. But in the process of taking down the old lighthouse, what they came to realize was the foundation was actually too strong. They couldn't destroy it. And today, if you see pictures of the new lighthouse, next to it is still the foundation of the old one. It was too strong. That's the kind of foundation I want this church to have. One that is too strong. That nothing can tear it down. That nothing can destroy it. We should have a foundation that secures us in the storms. A foundation that will act as our guide in the paths that lead us from destruction to eternal life. It's the kind of foundation we need. One that cannot be done away with. As we finish looking at the last foundational truth this morning, eternal judgment, we also find ourselves at the very same time gazing into eternity itself. We start to look and see that incredible gift that God has in store for us. And immediately questions may pop up like, well, what does it look like? What does eternity look like? Can we, you know, what can we expect? Does the Bible really tell us what's going to happen? Well, you know what? Incredibly, the truth is that God, He has not kept this a secret. How amazing is that? He could. But this is apparently something that He wants His people to know. And in His Word, He has been very clear about how judgment will occur and about how we will go on to experience real life after the judgment. Our discussion today is going to be very focused. Okay, when you talk about eternity, you could talk about all sorts of things. But today, we're going to focus very much on one particular aspect, and that is the judgment that believers face. You may say, well, but Tim, I'm not a believer. What about me? Well, hey, become a believer, and then this applies to you. Okay? But today, we're going to talk about the judgment that believers face. You may say, I didn't think we faced judgment. But you know, the Bible speaks differently. The Bible, Paul wrote in Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, he says, "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live,' says the Lord, 'every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God.' So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he goes on to say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Yeah, believers, we do face judgment. But the great thing is that in our judgment, we can have the confidence. In the believer's judgment, we have the confidence, thanks to Jesus Christ, that our judgment is not one that will end in condemnation. You have confidence of that fact. John 5:24, in fact, says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." The judgment seat of Jesus Christ is not a judgment of condemnation. It is a judgment that is conducted for believers only. Okay? This judgment is not to determine righteousness. Instead, it is a judgment of our deeds and our works to determine reward. This judgment does not concern the destination of our souls. Instead, it is focused on the validity of our works. The clearest picture that we see of the judgment seat of Christ is found in the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this morning I want you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning looking at verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. As you find your places there, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you that you use broken vessels. Lord, I thank you that as the potter, Lord, you are continually reshaping us. Father, I thank you for the word now this morning that you are pouring upon your people. Father, use your word to reshape us, to make us into something new. Father, we thank you and we love you. And Lord, we ask this incredible thing in the name of your incredible Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 11, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." In the passages here before, Paul refers to the day. A particular day, a particular time. The day when all of our deeds and all of our works will be brought to light. Everything that we've ever done, everything that we've ever thought, will all be brought to light on that day. And that day is the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That day occurs just shortly after he has pulled the church up to himself. He has taken us home. And it occurs just before the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. You need to know something about the judgment seat of Christ. You need to hear me very clearly here. It's an invitation-only event. You have to have an invitation. You can't just show up. There's no party crashers at the judgment of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writes in verse 11, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Our foundation for this church, my foundation, I hope today you can say the same. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, we've spoken about six foundational truths. But in the scripture itself, it calls them elementary teachings about Jesus Christ. The importance of what Paul was writing about there and the importance about what I am telling you about here, they cannot be overstated. The only foundation that our redemption, our justification, and our hope of eternal life, the only foundation that those things can be found upon, they rest entirely on the person Jesus Christ. Entirely. Not good works. Not a moral life. Not even paying your taxes. You know? All those things are good things. All of them are products. They're byproducts and the results of this incredible foundation. But they are not the foundation itself. No amount of good works in the world, no matter how moral of a life you live, you will always fall short if what you are lacking is the blood of Jesus Christ. You won't make it. That is your invitation. Our foundation alone is the rock of the ages. That is what we build upon. Nothing else. Nothing less will suffice. And nothing more is needed. Second one is kind of hard for us to hear sometimes. Nothing more is needed. It is not Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that. It is Jesus plus nothing is your foundation. That foundation of Jesus Christ, that is your invitation. Now, I think most of us here would recognize and believe that we are saved by the grace of God alone. Anybody here deserve it? No. No, we are saved by the grace of God alone, but we are also saved for a purpose. We are also saved to fulfill God's plan in our lives. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we," meaning believers, you and I, "we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." You have purpose. Yes, you were saved by God's grace, but you were saved for a purpose. And it is our faithfulness to that purpose. It is our willingness to be about those works that Paul goes on to write about in verses 12 and 13. Returning again to the passage, it says, "If any man builds on this foundation," Jesus Christ, "if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." At the judgment seat of Christ, there before all of eternity, every moment that we ever realized and every opportunity that we ever lost will be brought to light. Every single one. Our entire lives. You'll see the truth you shared or didn't share. You will see the kindness that you showed. The ways that you served and the love that you gave. All of those things that we brought forth on that day. All of us will then be judged by the only judge that matters. We will all stand before Jesus Christ with our deeds and our works fully laid out. And on that day, Jesus will not only consider what you did or did not do, but he will also consider the heart with which you did them. See, the second half of verse 13, it says, "It," meaning those deeds, "will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." Fire? Tim, no, Tim, I went the other way. You know, I went up, not down. There's no fire. But in describing our Lord, the word in Revelation 19 says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes wars. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns." Fire. The fire in the eyes of Jesus Christ is the fire with which our deeds, the fire with which our works will be judged. It is the piercing and powerful and all-seeing eyes of Jesus Christ that will go right through your flesh. And they will peer right into your heart. And he will immediately see your true motives and all of your true purposes. Nothing will be hidden. The piercing eyes, the fiery eyes of Jesus Christ. We're going to be standing there. And some of us will have to be answering some hard questions. Did you feed that homeless man to get your name in the paper? Or did you do it because, like you, he was made in the image of God with intrinsic value? Did you serve the less fortunate out of guilt? Or because Jesus first served you? Incredibly difficult questions. Do you attend church every week to make your wife happy? Or are you here today because you truly desire to know and worship the living God? Now, you can lie to me. In fact, in that question, I prefer you do. But you can lie to me, but you will not lie to Jesus Christ. When you stand before God and your deeds and your life are laid out before the holiest, holy, holy, holy God of the universe, guess what? His eyes will look right through all of that. And He will see exactly what your motive was. Exactly what your purpose is. And no amount of explanation and no excuse in the world will be able to save those deeds and those works that were done out of pride or out of selfish gain. They're going to burn up. Nothing's going to save them. Verse 14 again says, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. The parts of our lives that are built out of gold and silver and precious stones, those things will survive. They will come through the other side of the fire. And you will be rewarded. Here's a little truth that you may or may not know about the kingdom of God. When we get up there into eternity, many of the people who will be the most blessed, many of the people that will be the richest people in the kingdom, guess what? You won't even recognize them. You won't recognize them because here and now, they are the silent servers. Here and now, you will never see their name on a business card. You will never read about their actions in the newspapers. In fact, many of them will slip out of this world almost completely unnoticed. But God will notice. And one day when you and I get up there, when you look out and you see those who have received incredible blessing, remember, God will notice. He sees it all. Nothing escapes His attention. At the other end of it, though, are many people who will be experiencing verse 15. It says, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Okay, listen. The judgment seat of Jesus Christ, it is more intense than any of us can possibly imagine. It is so much more intense than we can even begin to imagine. But even at this point, remember this, that we are not being judged at the judgment seat of Christ to determine our righteousness. Okay? Believers, listen, your righteousness, only believers are allowed there. And your righteousness is forever secured right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not there to determine righteousness. Instead, we are there for Christ to judge our actions, our deeds, and our works. And if they are shown to be made of gold, silver, and precious stones, we will be rewarded. But at the same time, if we acted out of pride and selfish gain, and they are shown to be made of wood, hay, or straw, guess what? They'll be burned up. They will be burned in the fire. Some people, I am sad to tell you, will watch their entire lives go up in a flash of flame in just a moment. The word says, they will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Here's the big problem I have with that. They will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Here's the big issue I see with that. I think today, most of the church is okay with that. I think most of the people sitting in churches across America and across the world are okay as long as they get by. You know, there's a phrase that I've heard over the years time and time again. You probably have heard the same one. Fire insurance. Right? Everybody heard of that? I got my fire insurance right here in my back pocket. I missed that opportunity to serve. It's okay. I got my insurance. You know, I passed up that family that was in need. Yeah, I feel bad, but it's okay. I got my insurance. I didn't share the truth with my neighbor even though I know God was telling me to. Yeah, well, I got my insurance. I'll be okay. Brother, sister, you need to know something. Jesus Christ is not in the insurance business. He is not in the insurance business. He's in the assurance business, yes. And I hope that every person in this room today has the assurance of salvation, I hope you walk out of here knowing absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt where you will spend eternity. But Jesus is not in the insurance business. He is in the investment business. He is about us not carrying fire insurance in our back pocket. Instead, what he wants you to do is invest in an eternal 401k. You hear me? He wants you to put something into it. Because he wants to reward you. He wants to bestow blessing upon you. He doesn't want you just to walk through life thinking, well, at least I'll make it. No, he's got so much more. You were saved by the blood of God's only begotten Son. You think he would do that? Do you think he would sacrifice that just so you could walk through and say, hey, I'll be okay? He saved you for a purpose, for a reason, for his plans, to bring glory to his name. And your fire insurance just ain't doing that. Make an eternal investment. Invest eternally in the kingdom. I don't know about you guys, okay? But I got to tell you something. I don't want to escape by the flames. I don't want to be, that's how the life of Tim ends. Is he made it, but he just barely escaped by the flames. You know what I want? Can I be honest? What I really want is on that day, I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, I want the fiery eyes of my Savior to look at every work and every deed. On that day, I want to hear the voice that spoke all of creation into existence turn to me and to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into your rest. Amen. Amen. Do you want that today? Do you? We had a hard time being thankful for anything earlier. I did. But man, I'm so tired of the normal. The enemy doesn't care that you're here. You know that? The enemy doesn't care that you're here at all. Because most of us, this ain't doing nothing for you. You're just spinning your wheels, wasting an hour and a half of your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you decide that today you're going to make an eternal investment, if you decide that fire insurance just ain't going to cut it anymore, you give them something to be afraid of. All right? And that day, believe me when I tell you, I would love to stand with somebody on my right and somebody on my left and just celebrate the incredible blessing that God wants to bestow upon you for all of eternity. Invest in eternity. Yes, you know what? I'm not here to debate your salvation. I'm not doing that. You know, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're going to make it. But don't be willing to just escape by the flame. Want something more. Jesus died for a lot more than that. He died for a whole lot more. Will you stand with me this morning? I say it one last time. I hope every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice, I hope that you have the assurance of eternal life today. Okay? I hope that you know without any question in your heart where it is that you will spend eternity. I hope that is settled. Okay? And this morning, as we wrap up our foundational truths, I hope that many of us now know more about what we believe than we did 15 weeks ago. All right? But I will tell you this. Church, believer, brother, sister, you've got a foundation. Great. You got it. The question that we each need to answer in our own lives today is now, what are you going to build on it? What are you going to do with it? You have a foundation that was laid in the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with it? Because he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He's not in the insurance business, folks. He's in the investment business. And he wants to see you invest in eternity. Invest in the lives of your brothers and sisters around you. Invest in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You will be amazed at the returns. Let's pray.